going on, baby? Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron, live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're on YouTube right now, smash that subscribe button, smash that like button right down there. And if you've been tailing the picks around here, I hope you're smashing that subscribe button. Coming off of a night 6-0 last night. John Mellor went 3-0 last night. It was the return of the Sweet Boys. Red hot here on the past couple Mondays. 5-0 last Monday as well. So seeing the board really well in the NFL right now. On a nice run there since week 6. Off to a winning start in the NBA here as well. So we are flying. And not a whole lot to bet on tonight. The NBA taking the night off due to the U.S. election. You might have heard that's going on, but we are a betting show, so we're going to have some hockey picks here in the second segment of the show. If you guys want to participate today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat. Let us know what you like in week 10 of the NFL season. Let us know who you're voting for. What are your most controversial political opinions? Being sarcastic, of course, we like to keep it light around here. So be nice, guys. Okay, so let's do what we always do here on Tuesday. A visit from our guy, professional sports bettor, Hitman. How are we making out, buddy? Feeling good?
That actually got a good chuckle out of me that you asked for that in the comments. For half a second, I was like, wait, is he serious? And then it's like, no, we can't have that.
Well, stuff like that's good for like engagement. If we really want to stir it up on social media, hey guys, let us know who you're voting for and why, and argue with the other people in the chat. It gets the people going, right?
That's true. And then if we start talking about it, half the show would want us fired. The other half would want a raise for us. You know how it goes.
Yeah, and my boss would probably want to have a word with me at the conclusion of the show today. We are a sports show, so we will be sticking to sports, mainly sports betting. Okay, so week 9 in the NFL, in the books, what are your biggest takeaways from the week that was?
Probably that the Saints roster is decimated. And it's not getting better with Chris Olave possibly even out for the season with his fifth concussion that he's had since entering the league. I don't think that any coaching change is going to make a big difference. So that was a big takeaway. And then takeaway number 2 is that Dallas's season is over. They, even if Dak was healthy, they're not making the playoffs. So now that Dak is now out for 4 weeks, it's almost time for them to get ready for the draft. But it doesn't seem like they're going to, because they made some trades on trade deadline. They trying to get a little bit better.
Yeah, the wheels have finally officially fallen off here for the Dallas Cowboys. Though it's funny with Dak getting injured, that's probably maybe an excuse to bring Mike McCarthy back. And you can say, well, you know what? The quarterback went down. They have had a lot of injuries this season, to be fair. So McCarthy's probably safe, wouldn't you assume?
At the end, safe for next year or during the season, you think?
Next year, just based on their history with Jason Garrett, they kept him around. Or his contract's up, actually, isn't it?
I'm not sure on the contract, but Joe, I'd be willing to go head-to-head with you. I'd make a big bet on McCarthy not being the coach next year.
Okay, I'm not willing to make a big bet on anything that supports.
I think the Jerry Jones, you know, Jerry Jones is what, 83 now or something. Yeah. Like, I think he's going. They're not going to rebuild. I think he's going to end up going for a splash hire, and he is going to throw a lot of money at a Bill Belichick, a Mike Vrabel, a Ben Johnson, whoever the top candidates are. I think he's going to throw a lot of money at.
Yeah, that's how I kind of look at things for my Miami Dolphins. Their owner's into his 80s now. That guy's got all the money in the world. You know, he fired Brian Flores off consecutive 9-8 seasons, and the Dolphins kind of falling apart here. So we'll see what they do. Okay, so it's not just the election day here in America. It's also trade deadline day in the NFL. Already a couple moves here this morning. Most notably is Za'Darius Smith to the Lions. I'm seeing Marshawn Lattimore could be on the move. What move has moved the needle most for you? And do you have any predictions or expectations for what could happen over the next couple hours here?
Positive moves, Za'Darius Smith, no brainer, major need for Detroit. They're in it to win it this year. They're the best team in the NFC, even without Aiden Hutchinson. That was the most impactful and best move, in my opinion. The worst move of the day, I mean, Dallas trading from Jonathan Mingo. And I don't care. A fourth-round pick for Jonathan Mingo. I don't care that he was the 35th pick 2 years ago. And they're looking at it like, oh, we're getting this early second rounder that we probably had a first-round grade on for a fourth rounder. Like, this guy has done nothing. He can't even get on the field for one of the worst wide receiving cores in the entire NFL in the Carolina Panthers. I didn't get that deal for Dallas. And this is a team that should be stockpiling picks right now with the way their season's going. So I did not understand that trade. Of moves to possibly come, I would think that the Lattimore one, that would be big for a team that wants a man coverage corner that's in it to win it this year. That would be big. So that would be one I would that would maybe move the needle just a tiny bit if it did happen. But that would be big.
Yeah, you got to assume the Saints ready to unload after canning Dennis Allen there yesterday. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I asked you when the Ravens were red hot. They did, of course, get back on track this week. I said Ravens versus Chiefs on a neutral field. Who are you going to take? So I'm going to ask again, but I'm going to substitute the Lions in for the Ravens. I think these are the consensus two best teams in the league. They are the top two favorites to win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs undefeated this season. Not really blowing a lot of teams away, but they're just finding ways to win here. Meanwhile, the Lions, just an absolute buzzsaw, regardless of the location, regardless of the opponent. I think their quality of wins are more impressive than that of the Chiefs. So if those two teams were to face off on a neutral field, say, for instance, in the Super Bowl, who would you take today?
Today, I would slightly take the Chiefs. Once we get to the Super Bowl, I'd be all in on I'd like Kansas City by a decent bit, because I do believe there's a little bit of a difference between playoffs Chiefs and regular season Chiefs.
Yeah.
And especially because of the fact that they could be getting or reported to be getting Hollywood Brown back possibly in the playoffs. That gives them it goes from what we thought was a bad pass catching crew to you're going to have Pacheco back. You would have Hollywood Brown back. DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy. That's not a bad skill position core. So, I would go Kansas City in that instance. I still think Detroit does have some issues, and their pass rush still has issues, although it got better today. And their cover guys still have some issues as well. But I think Kansas City would just be slightly better at this moment.
Yeah, if it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter, I'm not taking anyone over the Kansas City Chiefs. It hasn't really been pretty for them. Although DeAndre Hopkins, he looks to be integrating into that lineup pretty good. He looked really good there last night.
It's funny also, like Kansas City, like if you look at their metrics this year on first and second down, they've not been great all year. But on third down, they're number one. And it just kind of goes to like that Kansas City, like – every time they need it, when they seemingly just need it, they need a drive, they need a third down, they get it done. And it's been that way for years now. So, yeah, I'm going Kansas City.
Okay, Hitman. So in the second half of last season, one of the biggest themes, one of the biggest talking points is people who are pointing out who are the biggest frauds in the NFL. And we identified it was the Dolphins and the Cowboys. And people turned out to be pretty right about that, I think so. So we're going into the second half of the season now. There are some surprise teams here with winning records. No one expected the Steelers to be at 6-2 at this point of the season. Of course, the Commanders, red hot. The Arizona Cardinals are in first place, 5-4. That division looks wide open. So my question to you is, which team with a winning record do you think is most fraudulent right now?
If I go off my power ratings right now, it's Denver, and there isn't even really a close second as far as the winning teams. It would be Denver. I have about 3 points worse than an average team. and Arizona, which would be the next best over 500 team or next worst over 500 team. I have about a half point worse than average right now. So it's a pretty significant margin between that. I would say that Denver is the most fraudulent. I mean, you can only get by so long just playing great defense in the year 2024. It's an offensive league, as we all know. And Bo Nix, although he has been improving, his sack avoidance has been really good this year. But it's just not the guy, and it's not the guy that's surrounded by legitimate starting NFL talent right now outside of Cortland Sutton. So Denver would be the team that once they step up in competition, as we got to see last week, it's not going to be good for them. And then once they play inferior competition, you know, Sean Payton's a solid coach. Vance Joseph is a good coordinator. They can get by running the ball, playing good defense. But, yeah, Denver's the team that I'd be surprised if they ended up in the playoffs.
Yeah, a true cupcake schedule for them to open the season. I took the over on their over-under win total coming into the season. I believe it was 5.5. They're at 5 right now, but a big part of the reasoning was, hey, look at their schedule, weeks 1-8. It doesn't get much easier than that. And they had taken advantage of it, but we saw what happened when they played a really good team in the Ravens there last week. They got absolutely stomped. What about a team like the Houston Texans? So they get a boost from playing in that division. But they look like they're really unraveling right now. You know, the cluster injury at wide receiver, high-end guys going down. They looked awful against the Jets.
It depends because, it's different. It's Houston when healthy. It's different than Houston when not healthy. I mean, I've said it on this show before. Like, Nico Collins, you could argue, is up there with, like, the most impactful wide receivers to the point spread in the entire league right now. Like, CJ Stroud's splits with and without Collins have been drastic. So I think once they get Collins back, they get Will Anderson back maybe this week or in a few weeks from now, I think that this team, they're not going to be, you know, I was really high on them coming into this year, as high as anybody.
Yeah.
I've calmed down on that to where I just think this is a solid above average team. Think maybe like Cincinnati Bengals ask, like maybe 2 points better, 1.5, 2 points better than an average team. I don't think that they're the Super Bowl contender that I thought before the season, but I think once they get Nico Collins back, it's still a solid above average team.
Yeah, tough spot for them with the Lions coming to town here for Sunday Night Football. So, of course, it's too early to be giving out player prop picks here for Week 10. Nothing's on the board yet, but we like to check in with you early on these. Anything on your radar this week that you'll be looking for in player prop betting markets?
You know, the Saints fired their coach. It's a defensive coach, so theoretically probably doesn't affect the offense as much as like a new offensive play caller or something. But still, whenever you get these coaching changes, it could be a little something. Maybe a certain coach is like, we want to stay more committed to the run than the previous coach. We think that Taysom Hill should play a bigger role than the previous coach. There could be something. So that's just something that I'm going to monitor this week, is see if there's any changes I can pick up on with a new coaching staff in the Saints. I'm not anticipating a ton because Kubiak is still calling the offense, but small chance that something pops out for the Saints.
Okay, yeah, keep the Saints on your radar here once those markets open up. Okay, so let's get into Hitman's Targets, aka your top plays of the week here. And let's start with one of the ugliest games of the entire season. For some reason, it's in Germany. And I said this, Hitman, if you're spending your Sunday morning planning around watching this game, this might be the straw that breaks the camel's back for a lot of relationships here for in football households across North America. Of course, I'm talking Giants, Panthers. Giants are favored by 5, and you like them to cover this number.
Yeah, I make this one closer to 6. It's just the simple handicap for me is just that Carolina is still historically bad as far as maybe like last decade, 2 decades. Like, they're up there as far as the worst teams that we've seen. It's still a team with cluster injuries defensively. It's a team that has cluster injuries on the offensive line. Speaking of those offensive line injuries, you're going against a Giants defensive line that is going to have an absolute massive edge in the trenches. And Carolina is one of the teams that can't take advantage of the weakness of this Giants defense, which is their secondary. Giants offense, trust me, it's not great, but literally everyone is moving the ball on Carolina right now. I thought that their game plans the past 2 weeks against Washington and Pittsburgh, especially against Pittsburgh when they were undermanned, like their offense still wasn't that bad. They were able to move the ball. It just goes to kind of speak of how highly I think of Brian Daboll as a play caller as well. So, yeah, I thought this one should have been closer to six. So give me the Giants minus -5.
I always like to envision games like this. You know, it's in Germany. There's people going to be in the stadium experiencing American football for the first time ever, and they're getting Daniel Jones versus Bryce Young. And they're probably going to be thinking, like, what the fuck is this? Why is this such a big deal? Like, you know, this is one of the ugliest games they can make in the NFL. But, you know, I think it looks like a good betting opportunity there as well. Okay, so Eagles Cowboys getting after it here in I believe it's in Dallas, correct?
Yes.
Am I right about that? It is in Dallas. So yeah, this game has lost a lot of its luster. No Dak Prescott, the Cowboys, a lot of injuries. You know, we touched on that total of 42, and you're gonna go under that number.
Yeah, so Dallas is, I want to say, likely getting Micah Parsons back in this game. They could possibly get Deron Bland back in this game. Obviously, offensively, it's going to be without Dak. There's a possibility that you're going to be without CeeDee Lamb in this game as well. And the other side of the ball, possibility that the Eagles are down with A.J. Brown. This has been, since the bye week, the run-heaviest offense in the entire league. It's been one of the slowest-paced offenses in the entire league. And last week felt like a game also that, like, That game went over the total in Jacksonville and Philadelphia. But there was a lot of stuff, if you look at the underlying stats, that led to that total going over, mostly turnovers that gave the opposing offenses good field position. The Eagles' defense was once again really good. And they were good against the Bengals. They were good in this game against Jacksonville. They've been really good since the bye. So maybe they are starting to come around a little bit with Fangio as the defensive coordinator. But a lot of this is just about Dallas's now ineptitude on offense, getting some defensive guys back, the Eagles without Brown, and the pace that the Eagles are playing at being so run heavy. So let's go with the under.
All right. Updated over under win total. You've been giving one of these out pretty much every week here on the show. Fading a lot of bad teams, and we're doing it again. You're going to take under on the Raiders. Updated over under win total. It's at 4.5. Plus 135, I believe, on that one.
Luckily, we got the Raiders under 6.5 before the year. So we're looking good on that, but we're going to double down. Yeah. We're going to go Raiders under 4.5. It's simply we're betting against a bottom five team not finishing the season 3-5. We're getting plus 135 on it. They could be getting, believe it or not, I never thought I'd be saying, like, oh, a team could be getting a big downgrade at quarterback from Gardner Minshew. But, like, if they're going to start Desmond Ridder, which sounds possible, like, that is a clear downgrade to the Raiders, in my opinion. So we could be getting a quarterback downgrade from this bottom five team, and the coordinator change that they made just doesn't mean much to me. They are one of the worst running teams in the past 2 decades. Right now, there's just not much going on. They have cluster injuries. During that Bengals game, they had lost a lot of guys, specifically on the offensive line. So I think it's just going to go from bad to worse for the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, that's a franchise that's in desperate need of a reset. I think they kind of got backed into a corner with needing to hire Antonio Pierce. He was the complete opposite of Josh McDaniels, who everyone hated. Then you get Pearson, who's a motivator. You know, he's a player-friendly type of a guy. And they kind of got tricked into hiring him. All of a sudden, you know, he's calling out the players. Davante Adams wants out of town. So, yeah, that backfired horribly for the Raiders, who will be in the market for a new head coach, most likely, and probably a quarterback near the top of the draft here in 2025 as well. Can you picture a Shedeur Sanders in a Las Vegas Raiders jersey with Bill Belichick being his head coach? What a pairing that would be. That team would get a lot of attention here, I think.
Yeah, I think Deion Sanders was talking about how his son would only go to a certain few teams or something, as if they can pick that or whatever. But I think the Raiders were on that list, if I remember correctly. So
yeah, he's Shedeur Sanders is not getting drafted by the Cleveland Browns. He might get drafted by them, but he won't be playing for them, right? So, yeah, hopefully we see a situation like that. Stuff like that's always fun in the draft. But, Hitman, we will leave it at that for today. Hopefully you can hit on a couple winners here for us this week. So best of luck with your handicapping the rest of the week and with your picks on the weekend. And we'll chat with you again next Tuesday.
See you Tuesday, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, so like I talked about off the top of the show, not a lot to bet on tonight. The NBA taking the night off due to the election. However, the NHL is not. And we are a betting show, and I would like something to bet on tonight. Maybe a bit of a distraction. I'm not into politics myself. I'm up here in Canada. I'm not going to say anything. Let's get into some hockey picks here. So undefeated on the season in the NHL. 0-0, I haven't made a pick yet, but still, officially, I am undefeated. So let's get into a couple of plays here. I got two. Let's start in Winnipeg. A lot of excitement for this one. How can you guys focus on the election when the Winnipeg Jets are hosting the Utah Hockey Club tonight? Anyways, I'm going to go with the Jets in regulation, minus 130, so they need to win the game, and it cannot go to overtime. 11-1 on the season here for the Jets. They are an absolute wagon. 8 of their 11 wins have come in regulation. They are the number one power play in the NHL. Utah is a team that spends a lot of time in the penalty box. The 7th most penalty minutes on the season, to be exact. Basics matter. So Utah allows way too many shots on net. Last 10 games, they've allowed the 8th most shots on net. And that's not a good thing because the Jets rank 4th in shots on net in the span. And just a major advantage in between the pipes here. Connor Hellebuyck, once again, one of the best goaltenders in the NHL at 233 goals against average. And another guy named Connor playing goalie tonight for Ottawa. Connor Ingram. You know this guy? He's not very good, especially when it goes on the road. He has a 410 goals against average, 4 or more goals allowed in 6 of his 10 starts this season. So we'll take Winnipeg to take care of business there. Next up, we go to Colorado and the Avalanche. I think this looks like a good bounce back spot for them. They've been struggling here, lost 3 games in a row, but at least on the offensive side of things, I think they'll be able to bounce back and go over 3.5 goals, minus 110. Look at this opponent here. The crackheads, as I like to call them, they rank 29th in expected goals allowed over the last 10 games, allowing a lot of high danger chances as well. Strong analytics at home here, specifically for the Avalanche. Top 5 in expected goals for, high danger chances for, and Corsi percentage for, and elite power play for the Avs, and the Kraken can't stay out of the box. Colorado has the 2nd best power play in the NHL. The Kraken has spent the 4th most minutes on the penalty kill over the last 10 games. And there you have it. A bit of a weird show today. It feels weird in the middle of football season. We did get to discuss some football, thankfully, though. But yeah, light from a betting perspective. Of course, baseball wrapped up last week. But we're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow. Get right back into form. John Middlecoff will be here with his weekly chat to discuss all the big topics in the NFL. Some best bets from him as well. And the NBA is back as well. Absolutely loaded slate there tomorrow. So John Mettler will be here. Him and I will have a handful of picks to share with you guys. John Mettler asks, who are you voting for? Very interesting topic here. I am a Canadian citizen, so I have no horse in the race. I have opinions, but I keep them to myself. When I grew up, I remember my dad used to say it was rude to ask people who they're voting for. I kind of subscribe to that. But now in the social media age, everyone needs to share their opinions on social media. It's fine not to have an opinion. It's also fine not to share your opinions on everything, people. Costa says, go Canada, go. Let's go. We might be having an election here within the next year. Anyhow, that's enough politics talk for one day. I don't want to get in any trouble. So we will leave it at that. We're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow, though. Same time, same place. Thank you to Hitman for joining today. Thank you to producer Mick for producing. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring the show. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And thank you to all the viewers for tuning in today. Best of luck with your bets tonight, and we'll catch you guys again tomorrow. Woo!